Well, I know why God brought me here. Not just for y'all, but y'all for me. That was awesome. God has been so close to me and made himself so real. And if you have to go through a time of heartache, I will tell you, God will be real to you and his grace is sufficient. Just last week, he gave me a verse out of a book. It's a Bible verse. It's in Jeremiah. And it just spoke to my heart. He said, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. There's nothing that can come between you and God and take away his love for you. Went back and got these off of the Christian Womanhood book table. I hope that you will take advantage of these. This one is, my topic is on child rearing. And I pray that God, how many of you are mothers? Okay, and you teenagers, one day very likely that you will be. Many of you have, maybe you don't have children, but you work with children in Sunday school and on bus routes. So I hope you'll apply my lesson any way that you can. I'm going to speak a little bit to grandmothers at the end too. But talking to our daughters, a mother's guide for talking with her daughter about adolescence and womanhood. You need to help transition your daughter into womanhood. And make use of all of these books that you can. We need wisdom, and God uses people like this to write books. There's a set of 5 books by Brother Scott's daughter, Jacqueline Weber, and she has articles in Christian Womanhood all the time. This is No Regrets. These are all lessons for teen girls. If you have a teenage girl, you ought to get these for her. I got these for my granddaughter and gave them to her for Christmas last year. Is God real to you? Life is relationships. Do it right the first time and make a difference in your world. I hope that you'll get these books. They could really make a big difference in the lives of your teenage daughters or granddaughters. The topic is child rearing. My lesson is precious memories. And I'll be teaching you on loving your children. Let's begin with prayer. Lord, please use me again, I pray. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and your power. I pray that you will work in every heart today, that you will give us hearts for our children and our grandchildren, that you'll give teenage girls a heart for their mother, and that you'll begin today renewing precious memories in the lives of people, especially if things are strained in families. And I pray, dear God, that you'll do something eternal today in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin by giving you some great truths that little children have learned. No matter how hard you try, you can't baptize cats. When your mom is mad at your dad, don't let her brush your hair. If your sister hits you, don't hit her back. They always catch the second person. Isn't that true? Never ask your 3-year-old brother to hold a tomato. You can't trust dogs to watch your food. Don't sneeze when someone's cutting your hair. Never hold a dustbuster and a cat at the same time. I just love that one. You can't hide a piece of broccoli in a glass of milk. Don't wear polka dot underwear under anything white. And the best place to be when you're sad is grandma's lap. And I agree with that. One great truth that adults have learned, raising teenagers is like nailing jelly to a tree. Isn't that true? Sorry, teenagers, but you do make it difficult at times. And I've often said that parenting is the hardest thing in the world to do. I really believe it is. Titus 2, 3, and 4, and I didn't really plan it this way, but it ends up the scripture that I've used covers the lessons that I pick out from the very same place, the aged women likewise, that they may teach the young women to love their children. First, be sober, be self-controlled, love their husbands, love their children. Love here means philos, to be fond of, to have a maternal love. It means to be affectionate, to cherish. You know, raising children can become real burdensome sometimes. There's so many heartaches and problems you can go through, and it can end up, your children can, you can get to thinking of them as a lot of problems and a lot of work. And if you're not careful, you'll forget that they are a gift from God. And we're talking about gifts from God. Remember, your children are precious gifts from God. And if a time comes into your life like came into mine 9 months ago, I tell you, you're going to need your children there. I don't know what I'd done without my four adult children. And there's times going to be heartaches, all kinds of heartaches in your lives. And you're going to want somebody to walk through those valleys with you. And if you have children, if you haven't built a close relationship with them, they're not going to be there for you when you need them. And your children aren't there, you know, for you and to meet your needs, but they should be at times like that in your life. And the only way it's going to happen is if you have a mother's heart and you've built a relationship. And I'm going to try to give you some things that maybe will help you today. Remember this, love doesn't mean overindulgence. It means to give them what's best for them, whether it's training or discipline or praise or time or physical needs or spiritual needs. It's not letting them do anything they want. It's not letting them be a brat. It's not overindulgence. Learn all you can about child rearing, especially about training children. This is for them as much as for you. And one of the most important things is to believe in them and to praise them. Children need it, especially teenagers. And if you've got a very willful child, and it seems like you're a child abuser because you spank them 10 times a day maybe, and then you need to be praising them 20 times a day. Praise twice as much as you correct. Don't destroy your child's spirit by name calling. Children want so much to please, and kindness goes a long way. And we destroy children so many times through ridicule, name calling, angry treatment, impatience, and harshness. And the tone is so important. Yes, we should be firm. I told you, we're not going to do that. You're not going to do that. And you can use firmness, but a gentle, kind tone. It's not necessary to say, no, I told you we're not going to do that. Don't have to be harsh. Don't have to be rough, but firm. And let them know. And especially when they become teenagers, don't let them run over you. Hold your ground. Keep those borders. Don't let them talk you into the wrong music, wrong clothes, going places you don't feel comfortable about them going, or going with people. If there's a questionable friend, then you don't maybe sever that friendship unless it's destroying your child. But instead, have that person come to your house where you can watch at all times. And that's what Brother Scott has recommended. It should be firm but not harsh correction, patient and loving. Your child should know you love him every time you talk to him, even when it's correcting him. Your child, no matter when you talk, even if it's correction, that child should know that you love them. Now, teenagers, what I'm given today, this is to help get you ready for when you become a mother, not as ammunition against your mother. Remember that. Mothers, try all you can. I want to talk about what does it mean to love your children. I've got 20 minutes, so I'm going to try to take 5 minutes per subject. Number one, be in control. Be patient, kind, and gentle. That goes back to that very first thing about being sober. Nothing so destroys a child as harsh verbal abuse or physical abuse. Be disciplined in your discipline of them. Don't deal with your children in anger, frustration, and fury. Never spank in anger. Don't slap a child. Don't grab them and jerk them around. Never yell at them. Don't shake them in anger. The moment you do, you undo the discipline that you're trying to get them to learn by your lack of discipline. So you just undo it. It's all wasted. So how do you discipline? Well, the purpose of discipline is to break the will of a child. Unless you can get to their heart. My dad once talked to a son of mine, and he said, he came back down to me and he said, you can still reach him, because he said, if you can talk to a child and they can still cry, you haven't lost them. And but you got to break a child's will, but not his spirit. Angry, harsh words break the spirit of a child. They crush it. That's why it's so important, the words you use and how you talk to a child, that you don't get after them in front of other people and embarrass them, but you do it very privately. This is what I was taught, how to discipline a child. First of all, send them to the room till you're no longer angry. Two, ask them, what did you do? Get them to confess. Three, ask them, okay, what's the punishment for that? Which means you're going to have a list of rules, punishment, where they understand. give that punishment. I always spank for three reasons: lying, disobedience, and disrespect. The Bible says to not spare the rod, but spank them only on their bottom. Don't spank excessively, but be sure their will has broken, usually by a show of crying, or maybe your child isn't much of a crier, but you can tell that the resistance is gone. They've yielded their will. And it may take a succession of times to stop, send them to the room again, try again. Depends on the will of the child. Then, when it's done, you pray for them, and then you have them pray and ask God to forgive them. And if they've offended anybody, they're to go and make it right with that person. Then they come to you, and the last thing is, you love them and reassure them of your love. And that is a good way, I think, to administer discipline, to make sure that you're in control. Number two, what does it mean to love a child? It means to teach and train them to be ready for life. In preschool, you should mainly concentrate on obedience, breaking their will, making sure they obey first time, every time, doing exactly what you're told to do, that they have a right heart attitude, that they're glad to help. And there, it takes a lot of work. Parenting isn't easy. When they get to elementary school, continue the obedience training, but concentrate then on character and self-control, keeping the room clean, doing their homework right, being a team player with the family, helping with the house cleaning, helping with the yard work. We're team players here. Let them know. As soon as they can read, start them on their walk with God. They should be having their own personal devotions by the time they're in first, second grade, because they can read by then. And maybe you'll just set up a little tiny piece of a few verses to read or whatever will work for them. But get them a little notebook. Have them write down what they read that day, the one verse that spoke the most to them, what they learned from it, and what they're going to change in their life. Help them to learn how to walk with God and make God's word real to them. It'll really change their heart. Then they can bring their notebook to your family devotion. Have family devotion every day. If your husband, encourage your husband to lead this. If he won't, ask him, then can I do that? But really, children need to see that dad's the spiritual leader in the home. That's very important. And then have them share with you either what they learned earlier in the day or the day before. And that make them a part of your family devotions by sharing with you what they wrote in their notebook. But teach them how to walk with God. Teach them about future dating. Don't wait till they become a teenager to tell them, let them know what you expect of them while they're dating. I began with my children when elementary school saying, you know what? When you date, you don't touch. You don't hold hands. You don't kiss till you get married. And you let them know if you don't want them to date till they get to college, start telling them when they're in elementary school. If you wait till they're teenagers and their minds have already made up and they've already found a guy they like or a girl they like, it might just be too late. Teach them financial values. They have allowance or a job. Teach them to tithe. Teach them to give faith promise. My husband taught faith promise all over America, and they were looking at cards one day, and he looked at one. He said, oh, isn't this cute? It's a junior boy. Put down $50 a week. Well, we need to throw that one out. The man who was also counting said, I don't think you'd better do that. That's my son. He was a deacon, I think, in the church. He said, really? Was he serious? He said, yeah, he has a paper route. So he said, well, let me know how it goes then. He went back the next year, said, hey, how'd it go for your son? He said the very next week after he did his faith promise, God opened up a paper route right next to his next one. And God provided every bit of it. Can you imagine as a junior boy, fourth, fifth, sixth grade, learning faith that soon? Can you imagine what he'll be by the time he's his dad's age? So be teaching them financial values, tithing, faith promise, saving money, things like that. Then when they get to junior high school, concentrate on purity, spiritual growth. Make sure they're walking with God. Teach them to work, to be organized, to live by schedule, to live by a budget. Solid financial values, what to look for in a spouse, and how, ladies, girls, how to be good homemakers, how to cook, how to sew, things like this. Men, boys, how to take care of the yard. Then when they get to college, how to be ready for marriage and life's work. How do you love your children? Discipline them in a gentle, kind way, watching your words. Number two, teach and train them to be ready for life, so that when they leave your home, they're ready for life. Number three, it means to develop a friend relationship with them. This may be one of the most important things I'm going to tell you today. As a mother, one of the best things that helped me as a mom was a sermon I heard by Brother Hiles one night. I was a pastor's wife. My husband and I had come up to counsel with him, and we weren't even supposed to be there, but I know it was a divine appointment by God for me to hear that sermon that Sunday night. He was talking about how that as we grow, we should grow in our relationships. That in each phase of that relationship, we should be adding a new dimension to our relationships, but not exchanging. I hope I'm not coming in on something you're teaching on relationships. But he gave the example of a mother-daughter relationship. He said, in preschool and elementary school, you're the authoritative parent. I told you that's not what we're going to do. I told you this is the way it's going to be. I need you to do this. Gentle, kind, firm, authoritative parent. In preschool and elementary, but also very close, getting real close to your children, loving them, and taking them with you places and things like that. Then when they get to junior high, high school, you add another dimension. You don't exchange, but to parenting, you add friend. You don't say, well, now we're going to be friends, but no, I'm no longer a parent. No, you don't exchange, but you add to. It's no longer the finger in the nose. But you treat them as a young adult. You're still their parent. You hold firm. You don't change your values. But it's not harping, scolding, nagging. But you treat your daughter like you would treat your best friend. When you talk to your daughter, ask yourself, would I talk to my friend like that? And that will help you know how to build this close friend relationship with your daughter. You're going to need your daughter there by your side one day. The only way she's going to be there is if you build a friendship with her. Then when they get to college age, it becomes parent best friend. Because you see, in junior high school, no, you're not going to be their best friend. Don't even hope out. Now, for some, they are. But most time, their friend is their best friend. Or their Sunday school teacher is their best friend. Everybody else but mom is their best friend. And you won't understand that. Because you do the most for them. You pray for them. You brought them into this world. And you're not going to understand that, but don't try to. Try not to get jealous. Just give it time. They'll come back around if you build that friend relationship. Then, when they get to college, like I said, parent best friend, because the daughter's more mature, they can relate better. And then when they become a married daughter, it's parent, friend, or best friend, sister. Because now you can accept her as a peer. She's moved into your realm, especially when she becomes a mother. Don't you love it, moms? Those who have grandchildren, don't you love it? Now that your children come to you and say, boy, mom, I didn't understand you, but now I do. Boy, they've moved into your realm, and boy, they understand a lot better. I just love that. I don't know if it's that we like to get even or what it is. But we must nurture an atmosphere of friendship. And we must decide the kind of person who is a true friend and the right kind of friend. And teens, it's not just mom's duty, but it's just as much your responsibility to work on friendship with your mom. I beg of you, give your mom wonderful memories too. I learned that you cannot have a relationship without two things. And that's trust and respect. And that's why it hurts a mom so much when a teenager mouths off to her mom. Because it's like saying, I don't want a relationship with you. Because without respect, you can't have a relationship. So if you want a relationship with your mom, and I don't understand why any daughter wouldn't. Because she ought to be your best friend. She's done more for you than any other person in the whole world probably. Other than maybe dad. But without respect, without trust. And that's why it's so important to not break their trust in you by doing something stupid. And last of all, I want to talk about making good memories for them and with them. First of all, realize this, one day all you're going to have left is memories of your child-rearing days. So give your children and give yourself wonderful memories. First of all, be a good memory for them. What will your children remember you as? Be a good memory for your children with a joyful, happy spirit. Psalm 113:9 says, "He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children." I believe God expects us to be a joyful mother of children, not get burdened down with all the cares of, I know parenting is hard and it can become a burden, but give your burdens to the Lord and say, "I'm going to have fun being a mom. And I'm going to have a lot of fun times and fun memories, not a burden." Don't think of your children as they're a big problem, a big financial burden. Boy, they sure make it hard. You know, don't think of them that. Think of it as they are a gift from God. And I will cherish them. And I will love them. Be the sunshine of your home. Have a good, happy spirit. One day there was a mother who was on vacation with her family. And she had a 2-year-old. Do you know what that can be like, mothers? The terrible twos. This child was so trying that day that by the middle of the day, she was already, her nerves were raw. She was so frustrated, and the poor husband, he could just tell. He thought, "Man, I've got to hurry and park this car, and we've got to relax, and maybe we'll stop for lunch in this nearby town. Maybe her nerves will relax." They got out, and before they went to the lunch place, the restaurant, they walked through a nearby cemetery, and the mom was reading epitaphs, and she came to one. It says, "Mother, she was the sunshine of her home." She thought, "Man, if that was me, that'd be the last thing they put on my tombstone." She decided right then, "I'm going to make a 180-degree turn." And she changed. And because her spirit changed, miraculously that child's attitude changed too. And the rest of the vacation was a wonderful time. And so we can really make a difference just with a joyful, happy spirit. Be a good memory for your children with gentle, kind words. Like I said before, for most Christians, we don't have memories of bad actions, but our regrets are probably mostly from the words we say. So as a mom, give more praise and correction, like I said. Find what they're good at and brag on them. My oldest daughter said one day at a mother-daughter banquet that her favorite childhood memory was one Easter when I gave the child, I'd always give them a different kind of Easter basket each year. But one year I gave them all the same looking type Easter basket, except each one had a different color ribbon. But I put a note in their Easter basket telling them why I chose the color I did. And I chose my oldest daughter. She reminds me a lot of Belinda. She's a lot of fun to be around. She's funny. She has my husband's personality. And I told her, "I chose yellow for you because you're the sunshine of our home. You make us laugh." She loved that. And it made me realize how important praise is for our children. And especially teenagers need a lot of praise and reassurance. And even adult children. It's so easy to see the faults that our adult children make and want to correct them. But remember, unasked for advice is seldom heeded and seldom appreciated too. And so don't ever offer advice unless you're asked. Once your children marry and go their way, and it's so hard because you can see them making mistakes, but you just pray for them. And I have found that most of the time when we try to give advice to our children or correct them as adult children, it doesn't really help them. It usually hurts their confidence more than what you could help them. So be careful that you're not damaging your child while you're trying to help them. Be a good memory by being gentle, not harsh. Will your children remember you yelling or teaching, scolding or loving? We can't teach our children discipline if we're out of control. I memorized this verse early on in my marriage because I wanted this principle to be in my life as a wife and a mother. Proverbs 31:26, "She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness." Kindness is so important. What kind of words will you be remembered for? You'll probably, listen to this statement, you'll probably be remembered for your words more than just about anything else. You may be remembered for some good works in church and maybe a little bit for soul winning, but probably your words more than anything else you'll be remembered for. Give them a good memory of you with good memories of you as a godly mom and a good homemaker, a loving mom, a clean house, good meals, clean, nice clothes, and a walk with God. Your children should be able to come in sometime and see you reading your Bible or seeing you kneel down and pray. There should be some time in their life where they've seen that. That'll be a wonderful memory for them. And give your children memories of you as a good wife, that they remember Mom, that she was faithful to Dad, that she was respectful to Dad, that she made him number one in our home. And then last of all, not just be a good memory for your children, but make good memories with them while you can. I'm going to give some real quick things, just real practical. Have a happy home. Brother Scott, when they got married, Brother Miss Scott, Mrs. Scott asked him, what kind of home do you want? And he simply said, I want a happy home. And that's the kind of memories you ought to create for your children, to have a happy home. I thought back to my childhood and thought of my fond memories of my growing up years. And I thought, what made my home special to me? It was going to church together, my mom and dad loving each other, having meals together and not in front of the TV, but sitting down where we could talk and share the day. We always had breakfast and supper together and always at the same time every day. Children need that kind of discipline. And they need, that gives them security to know we always have meals together, we always have meals at the same time. And praying before meals. Traditions, like for my family, Christmas stockings every Christmas. Doug always roasting a turkey for Thanksgiving. Doug always cooking and doing dishes for Mother's Day. I love that. It made me feel special. Always making birthdays special. I always ask everyone when it was their birthday, what's your favorite meal? What do you want me to cook? What's your favorite birthday cake? What do you want? And then they'd always, I always have cake and ice cream and always a present. Making holidays special. We always spend holidays together. Always. And always traditional things on holidays. Making fun memories. Fun memories like working together in the yard. Family nights. Board games. Our children still love to play. Adult children still love to play board games to this day. Taking vacations together. Family reunions. Family was important. 2 years ago, we had a family reunion with Doug's family to meet and to go down and see his mom because we knew her health was failing. And she died 1 week before we all got down there. But it enabled us to all be together for her funeral. But while we were there, we got two houses. Doug and I rented two houses, one for my son and his six daughters. And wife, they need a house just for them. We got a smaller house, and then we got a big house. It had a big swimming pool, and we called that big one with all the other children in it. We called that Party Central. And that's where we all got together and swam as a family with modest clothes. And I wouldn't give anything for the memories of that family together. Even after all my children were grown and gone, having a family vacation together, we can't always do it all the time, but whenever you can, ask God to help you do that. It's wonderful. Create good memories with your children. The best thing you can give your children is your time. Spend time with them. Time equals love to children. We're talking about how do you love your children? Give them time. When they're children, read books and play with them. Take them to the park or out for ice cream cones. It doesn't take a lot of money. And in elementary age, that's when you got to get real close to them. That helps bridge a gap through the teen years. When they're junior high and high school, show interest in their lives by taking them to games and be at their school activities. It's so important that they see that what's important to them is important to you. I loved it that my parents came to every one of my games. I was on a drill team, and what was important to me became important to them. And when they get to college, be their chaperone. Oh, that's real important because they're making very crucial decisions of life. And then when they get older, move away, or they are married, or they live on their own, still take time. Go walking or riding bikes together. Stay in touch. I can't be with my older daughter as much as with my younger daughter. So I told Kim, my oldest daughter, I said, I want us to start setting up twice a month that we get together. So we set out once a month we get together on a Friday night. And then once a month, we get together on a Saturday morning for breakfast together. And then last of all, grandmas, give them good memories of you as a grandma. Be gentle, not harsh, not always scolding. It can be hard to be around younger children and can be easy to be impatient. But let them have one set of parents, not two, as much as possible. Oh, I correct my grandchildren And sometimes if I hear being disrespectful to my daughter, I said, you're not going to talk to your mom that way. But I don't do it all the time. And I try to stay out of their discipline. Teach them what's right, but leave the discipline to the parents. Fix good food for them. And make cookies together. Make holidays fun. Make them special. Take them to the park. Take them to special places. When my little granddaughter was about two, my husband several times and I would take her to Cabela's because that was one of my husband's favorite places to go. And she could shoot the little toy guns and see all the stuffed animals. It was a sporting goods place. And every time we drove by Cabela's for the next year, I mean, once a week we drove by to go to church. Mom, look, that's where Grandma and Grandpa took me, to Cabela's. And that just meant the world to her and the memory of that. Take them apple and berry picking. Vacations. Alyssa, I have a little four-year-old granddaughter, and they still live in our home because they lived in our home while we were on the field, and now they're looking for a home of their own. But we have a slumber party once a week. Friday nights is our night together. She'll come down because my bedroom is down in the basement, and beautiful, it used to be a family room. And we crawl in bed, and we turn on the TV, and she gets to pick out what she wants to watch, something good, a video or a cartoon or something, and we have snacks in bed. Man, she thinks she's died and gone to heaven. And I want to give her those memories. Last week, I took Zachary, who's three now, I took him grocery shopping with me. He thought that was great, and he was really a good boy. I found the little car, a stroller thing, grocery cart. Mrs. Scott babysits her children on Saturdays and is with her grandchildren once a week on Saturdays to give her daughter freedom, do things she needs to do. I encourage grandmas to babysit at least once a week so your children can have a date night and things like that. I want to be remembered as a neat grandma, not an impatient grouch. So what does it mean to love your children? It means to be in control, be patient, kind, and gentle. It means to teach and train them to be ready for life. It means to develop a friend relationship with them. And it means to make good memories for them and with them, to be a good memory and to create good memories. If you'll do this, then one day, your children will say of you, as it's said of the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31:28, her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. In my little notebook here, I came across a card that Allison had written to me at a Christian womanhood. They had given cards to daughters to let them write something to their mom. And she said, Mom, you are feminine, you are generous and extremely loving, you are a great keeper at home and wife. I don't say that to brag on me, but to let you know that if you will work to build a relationship with your daughters, a friend relationship, one day your children will rise up and call you blessed. I want to finish with one of my favorite poems, and this isn't to give you an excuse to have a dirty house. But just as your children should take second seat to your husband, your housework should take second seat to the needs of your children. It's called Polishing Memories. I have no time to sweep the floor. The piano collects dust like never before. The wastebasket is full. There are marks on the wall. The telephone's ringing. Can't take any calls. I'm sitting here rocking my tiny new son, closing my eyes to the day's work not done. I know from experience the future becomes past. These memories are treasures. I want them to last. Long after he's grown, I'll sit in this chair and feel the soft touch of his baby fine hair. I'll rock by this window till the first star appears, polishing the memories of my childbearing years. One day that's all you'll have left, because your childbearing days will be over. Your child-rearing days will be over. What kind of memories will you have? And not only for you, but what kind of memories will you leave for your children? And teenagers, what kind of memories will you leave for mom of your teenage years? Make them good for each other, I beg of you. And ask God to give you a heart, a mother's heart. Let's pray. Lord, please, I pray that you'll put this lesson into the heart of each and every person here, not just to be hearers, but doers of your word. I pray that you'll do something eternal today. In Jesus' name, amen.